In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have an enormous, great privilege to be able to participate, to facilitate the grace of God. What an enormous privilege this is for we who are of clay, we who are sinners, we who have darkness in us, are tasked by God to spread the light to other people, to spread the grace of God to other people. By the way we live, by the things we say, by the things we do, by the person we are. We have this privilege. It is not just a priest or a bishop who must do this. It's not just some saint on Mount Athos who does thousands of prostrations a night who must do this. It's you and I. We are tasked with this privilege. It is a gift. If we live according to this privilege, if we take advantage of this privilege, of this authority that God has given us to live righteously, to conquer sin, and to shine our light to others, then we will live triumphant lives. If we don't do this, if we box Christianity up as something that is just a belief system, things you do, fasting, etc., then we will live lives that are empty, even if we think they're full. This is a great privilege. Any great gift has an obligation. If you have a great gift and you don't use it, then you will actually go be worse. So we must use this great gift. We must consider this an obligation as well as a gift. Now the obligation must come from within us. Certainly God has commanded us to let our light shine before men, absolutely. But the greatest command should be from within us, because the Holy Spirit abides within us, and the groaning of the Holy Spirit should make us act as Jesus did today. Now, we won't be able to do the things he did today, the feeding of the 5,000, because we don't have those abilities. But we must have the empathy that he had, that he showed in this reading about the 5,000. And we must have a desire that is continually expressed to help other people. Because if we don't love other people, then we don't know God, because God is love. So it is a privilege, but also a responsibility. So let's look at this feeding of the 5,000 in this context. And let's also maybe think a little bit about what are the things that are vexing you? What are the difficult things in your life? Could it be that there's some sin that overwhelms you? Could it be that you just have a bad attitude? Could it be that you're lazy? Could it be that you have an addiction? What is it? Whatever it is. Maybe when you pray, your prayer feels hollow, as we talk about, bounces off the walls, doesn't get any higher than your head. Whatever it is, if you are using this gift that God has given you, I don't care how terrible you are, it doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, then you have this gift that you must use. If you use this gift, then those problems that you have will begin to dissipate, and some of them will completely disappear. So Jesus is going forth, and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion to them. He saw this multitude. Why did he see the multitude? Not because it was there, because he had eyes to see it. There's a multitude. Do you see the multitude? When you go to work and you have an office full of people, do you see the multitude? Do you see that everybody's having a hard time? Do you see that? Do you see that there are terrible things in the world that are happening right before your eyes? Do you see that? Jesus saw the multitude because he had eyes to see the multitude, because the multitude's always there. This is very important. We have a privilege to help the multitude. Now that doesn't mean that you have to do things beyond your strength. In fact, that would be unwise. But certainly, you must have a heart that feels the pain of the multitude. And if you have that heart, then of course, you would be expressing that pain by praying for those people consistently, not here and there, but consistently, and reaching out to them in whatever way you can. Whether it's with your hands or your feet or your shoulder or your money or your time, whatever it is. We have to see the multitude. Remember that Jesus Christ is the example for us, right? And I've told you many times that none of us are human yet. We're becoming human. Because Jesus Christ is the epitome of what a human being is. He is the bar. The measure and stature of Jesus Christ is what we are trying to reach. And so we should watch his behavior very carefully and emulate it. So he is going forth and he sees the multitude because his eyes are open and he is filled with compassion toward them. So he's healing the sick, something that with rare exceptions we won't be able to do, at least not physical illnesses. Spiritual illnesses, I hope all of us are helping to heal spiritual illnesses. It gets to be evening. It's a desert place. There's a reason why the evangelist says that. It's a desert place. It's a desolate place in the reading that we had today. They didn't think there was any food available. You look out there, there's no food. There's just a few solitary plants, a lot of sand, a lot of rock. No food in a desert place. So they tell the Lord, this is a desert place, this is a desolate place. Go tell the people to go into the towns to buy for themselves so that they can have food. That was a big mistake on the part of the apostles. Food is always available. The bread of life was with them. And the food is always available wherever you go. Because you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. Which means you can always give people food. Well, the food they need the most, of course, is spiritual food. They need the bread of life. And the Lord said, you give to them, you feed them. And they said, well, all we have is this tiny amount. Another mistake on their part. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish, there's not enough. That's maybe enough for 1 or 2 men. We have 5,000 men. We can't feed them with this much food. Well, God will multiply everything, including the things that you do, including the little tiny prayer that you say. And you say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon this one person every day for the rest of your life. God will multiply that. I think about that many times because I have many people on my prayer list that I haven't seen for years. I don't know how they're doing. But I'm connected to them because I pray for them every day. And my prayer is little. It's a prayer of a sinner. But it is giving some food in a desert place, coming out of the desert of my soul. And God will multiply that food. That's what I believe. That's what I experience. And I've had the fortunate experience of having people that I knew from years ago, and they weren't doing well at all. They were doing terrible. In fact, I figured that they'd apostatized or gotten involved in things that were really terrible and horrible. Come back to me years later and tell me that they did this and they did that. They were baptized, they were catechized, and they're living whole lives. People that I hadn't stopped praying for from the time that I no longer saw them. It was just a little bit of food. I'm not saying that my prayer caused them to live. That's the wonder of it. You really can't know, can you? Because perhaps other people are praying for someone. Perhaps other people are helping someone. I suppose you can know if you give a hamburger to someone that you have given them food. But as far as if you pray for someone, is it your prayer? Well, it's kind of better not to know. It's kind of better just to say, I'm a sinner, but because of the gift God has given me, I will pray. And I will in some way participate in their redemption. Perhaps I'm, you know how it is like when a child is carrying something with his father and his father's carrying it, but this child is touching the box and thinking that he's really, really working hard. Maybe it's like that. But you can still say the child is participating. So perhaps we're like that. But we must do that. We must participate in the mercy of God. And so you must have a big list of people to pray for. And don't listen to this idea in your head that, well, you know, my prayers aren't very good. I'm a sinner. Don't do that. You can't do that. It's a terrible sin. It's a blasphemy, really. Because God abides in you. And God has given you this gift and the responsibility to use this gift to pray for others, to help others, to be aware of others, to see the multitude, to have compassion on the multitude, and then to do something about it. Very, very important. So they take the loaves and the fish, and they feed 5,000 men and women and children, so a crowd of, who knows, certainly more than 20,000 people. And there's 12 baskets full left over. And this is just before, in time, in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. The feeding of the 5,000 occurs. He sends them away in the boat. He comes later. And then there's the discourse about the body and blood of Christ, about the Eucharist, that only John has. Of course, John had the advantage of having read all the other Gospels and was aware that what was in them. And so he added things to his Gospel that are just so exalted and high. And that was one of those things, the discourse about the bread of life and the bread of heaven. And he is that bread. So when we are told to feed someone, we are feeding the bread of life through us to them. Now, I'm not talking that we're giving them the Eucharist. I'm talking about that we're giving them of God's grace. We're helping God's grace to permeate in them, even though we're little, we're small, we can't carry much. And this is an image, this feeding is an image of the Eucharist. That's why the Eucharist is central to our theology. And it's really rather just, it's wrong that people would continually come to liturgy without the intention of having the Eucharist. You should have the intention and the lifestyle that allows that intention for you to commune every single week, or perhaps twice a week or three times a week. We have liturgy twice a week minimum, because of, I think we have it twice this week, as well as Sunday. And then, of course, there's Transfiguration coming up soon, and Dormition in about 18 days or so, something like that. We have liturgy often, and you should desire to partake of the mysteries because they are life. And then you should desire to propagate those mysteries by giving others to eat, by emulating Christ. And then you'll find the problems in your life, they won't be so big anymore. All those sins you have, and those long-standing bad habits, and maybe relationships that truly vex you, or maybe they sadden you very much, you won't have a problem with them. Or you'll have less problem with them. Let's not pretend that everything is going to be just perfect. If you want to hear about things being perfect in a Christian context, then just go, I don't know, turn on the TV set at 3 a.m. or something and listen to some preacher telling you a line about how you can be rich or everything if you're a Christian. We'll be rich if we're Christians, but we'll be rich with the body and blood of Christ within us and the Holy Spirit abiding within us and being privileged to spread this grace to other people. And one more thing about this gospel is at the end, it says that he straightway constrained his disciples to get into a boat. This is after the miracle. And then to go before him to the other side while he sent away the multitudes. So he sends away the multitudes and then he's alone. That's very, very important. That's talking about inner prayer. The gospel talks about this. But it's very subtle. After this great miracle, Jesus prayed by himself. So if you are helping others and you're not praying in your closet the prayer of Jesus or other prayers, but especially the prayer of Jesus, the Jesus prayer for others, if you're not praying with some zeal, with some effort, with some intensity, then you will fail in trying to help other people. They will tire you out. Because people get other people tired. All of us are messy. And when you try to help messy people, things get messy in your own life. So you must go away from the crowds and you must pray. It's critically important. So we see basically several examples of how Jesus lived here that we must do. The first is that he saw the multitude. He was looking for the multitude. His eyes were open to see the multitude. And he had compassion because he cared about the multitude, including the ones who were liars and thieves and fornicators and unbelievers and all those other kind of people that you encounter in your daily life, the vexatious people. He saw all those people and he had compassion for every single one of them. So that's how we must be. In a desert place, he said, you feed them because there's always food. Because he's always present. So we must believe this and understand this and act upon this. And also, when he had fed them, he had the crowds go away and he was alone to pray. Don't forget this part. You must be alone to pray. You must cultivate prayer. If you're just reading prayers from the prayer book or the Psalter, that's not enough. You must learn to cultivate deep prayer as best you can. I don't care if you're not good at it. It doesn't matter. Do it. And if you do it, you'll get better at it. You start with the Jesus prayer, with the prayer rope, and you start praying for yourself and for your loved ones, for your family, for people that are sort of in your life for some reason. Maybe for a good reason, maybe for a bad reason. Maybe because they've helped you and you love them. Maybe because they're just a mess and you want to help them. And then you pray for those people. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon such and such. And if you have the strength, you do it 12 times, or you do it 50 times, or you do it 44 times, or however big your prayer rope is. If you have the strength, do it 100 times for some people. And then you will have that strength to be able to do these things that Jesus did. To be able to look out at the multitude and not feel completely overwhelmed by the multitude. Because there's so many in a multitude, by definition. And every single one of them is needy. Every single one of us is needy. Every single one of us right now in this room is having a hard time. Except for maybe only the babies. They don't know yet. They're gonna have it. It's going to come to them very soon. Everybody's having a hard time. And if you have prayer supporting you, and if you are using your gift, then you will live a triumphant life. May God help us. God bless you. Amen.